Hello, interested in Freemasonry? Want to find out more? Then stay tuned in with Matt and Andy, who'll be discussing everything Freemasonry with guest speakers who delve into their own journey through the craft. Grab a beverage, pop your earbuds in, sit back and relax. Welcome to the Oxfordshire Light Blues Podcast.
Hello everyone and welcome to the latest episode of the Oxfordshire Light Blues Podcast. I'm joined as ever with my co-host Andy. Andy, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm great, Matt. How about you?
Yeah, not too bad. You know, surviving in the lockdown and COVID times.
Yeah.
And today we've got the great privilege of being joined by very worshipful brother Graham Ellis, the Deputy Provincial Grand Master for the Province of Oxfordshire. Hi, Graham. How are you doing?
I'm fine, Matt. Thank you very much. And hello to you as well, Andy.
Hi, Graham. Nice to see you.
You're looking good.
Cheers.
So we usually like to kind of start off the podcast with a question about kind of how you got involved in Freemasonry. So Graham, could you just give the listeners an idea of, you know, how you first heard about it and how you got involved?
Yeah, certainly. There's no history whatsoever of Freemasonry in my family that I could find. It was through a neighbour that I actually got involved. Like many people, I was invited out to a social function with my wife and another social function. And I think that caught my interest, started asking a few questions, as you do, and looked it up online and asked a few friends what they knew. And it really did spark my interest. And after probably 6 months, 9 months, I had a discussion with my next door neighbour, who was the chap who invited us along, and I ended up being initiated. And that was into a lodge in Hampshire and Isle of Wight province. I live in Basingstoke, and the lodge I joined was in Aldershot.
Wow.
Yeah, it's quite a story. And that was back in September 1996. And from there, I progressed through the ranks in that lodge. And at the time, we had a regular visitor coming out to us. And as often happens, you get invited back to their lodge for a reciprocal visit. I did that. That was very enjoyable. And after a period of time, I ended up, probably after an evening out, signing a form and joining that lodge. And that lodge was in Henley. And I've been going there ever since. And that was back in 2000. So 21 years almost now.
So which lodge in Henley is it?
It's Upper Thames.
Upper Thames Lodge, okay.
Yeah. The premier tailor's lodge in the province.
Oh, you're tailors. So, for the listeners out there, some may not be Freemasons, but with regards to ritual then, tailors is a sort of ritual, isn't it? It's a type of ritual.
Yeah, we have basic ritual, which most people do a form of emulation. And tailors is just a slight variation on that, different words and different orders. The underlying ritual ceremonies are exactly the same. It's just they like to confuse people by putting words in different orders.
You mentioned that you went through the ranks in your lodge. What was your favourite lodge office that you held?
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt, DC, Director of Ceremonies.
Oh, okay. Why was that?
Well, it's one of those roles where you're constantly involved. From the start of the meeting to the end, you're on edge. You're waiting to either help out or step in or have your 5 minutes of fame. It really is good because you are involved. And I'm not one of those people who can just sort of sit down for a couple of hours and watch everyone else enjoy themselves. I like to join in. But I think all roles in the lodge are equally enjoyable. As you go through them, the more you do, the more you learn. And I'm a great believer that young Masons, if they have the opportunity and their lodge can, allow them to do every office leading up to the chair, up to the master's chair. It really does help. It helps you understand Freemasonry in general, but also helps you understand the role of the master in the lodge. And when you finally get to the chair, the workload's a little bit easier if you understand the logic of what's happening within the ceremonies and within the lodge. But every role's a good one.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, myself and Matt are currently, well, Matt, are you junior warden at the moment?
Yeah, I'm junior warden at the moment, for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, yeah. I'm currently senior warden. I'm going into the chair, hopefully, in October.
That'll soon come round. I think when I joined my mother lodge, it took me 10 years to get through the chair. I see younger people coming in these days and they do get to the chair considerably faster. Not necessarily a bad thing, just different times. You know, it is enjoyable doing those different offices, but every lodge is different.
I think that's the beauty of it, really, is that every lodge is different. There's lots of different people, different characters around the different provinces. And, you know, that every lodge, you can see the different quirks within different lodge meetings, can't you? And you sort of think, I've not heard that before.
If we all were the same and we all did everything identical, I think Freemasonry would be very boring. Indeed. I think part of the enjoyment is going to the different lodges, seeing the different ways they do their ritual, meeting the different people. Everyone's got a different interpretation of the ritual and the way it should be done. And to me, that is one of the joys of Freemasonry, going to other lodges and seeing how they do things.
Yeah, it's definitely one of my favourite aspects of Freemasonry is the visiting and being able to kind of visit different lodges, meet different people, see different centres as well around the province. Is there any particular centre that's your favourite?
You mean apart from Henley?
Yeah.
I think they're all interesting. They're all quirky. They've all got something which is unique about them. I do find the Masonic centres all very welcoming and all quirky in their own ways. Some are small and tiny. We can only have limited numbers. Others are quite large and very large temples, so they have a different feeling about them. But I like the history. I like the buildings are often very old. And when you stand in the temple and you look around, you see the different honour boards around the walls. And some of them go back hundreds of years. And I find that absolutely fascinating that you can see a name up on the wall and relate to it from, you know, a couple hundred years back.
And you're currently Deputy Provincial Grand Master. Could you give the listeners a bit of an overview of, you know, what that role entails?
Yeah, it's a role of many different roles, if you like. It's supporting the Provincial Grand Master in the running of the province. It's getting out and about, meeting the members, showing the members that we are not just a faceless executive. We are there. We want to hear their views. We want to take them on board. We're not unapproachable. We're, you know, the same as everyone else. We're just chaps who go out, enjoy what we do, and try and do it to the best of our ability. Visiting other provinces is also a big part of the role. Going out, representing Oxfordshire and our neighbours at Buckinghamshire and Berkshire and the local provinces. It's enjoyable. It's a case of showing them that, you know, Oxfordshire can lead the way. We can be positive in what we do. One of my other functions is to head up the MCF festival, the Masonic Charitable Festival for the province. That's been going on now for about 3-4 years, and that takes up a great deal of my time.
So with regards to the festival, can you just give a bit more of an explanation as to what the festival is? When does the festival finish? How long does it sort of last for normally?
Well, festivals run every 11 years. Each province has a festival every 11 years. And the festival is in aid of the Masonic Charitable Foundation, the MCF as we refer to it. The MCF was formed 5 years ago now, as an umbrella organisation for all the Masonic charities that we have. And our festival is to raise funds to support the charities that support Freemasons and their families. If you look on the MCF website, it details how the organisation supports Masons when they fall on hard times. That could be financial, could be health, it could be helping their children achieve the potential that they might not otherwise be able to realise. So all the funds that we pay in go into the MCF, and they distribute them to charities locally, nationally, to help out masons and families and lots of other people around the country. We have this festival, which we're in now, which ends September the 3rd, 2022. And we've got a event lined up at the Oxford Town Hall of the evening, and it'll be a black tie event where we'll all go out in our finest robes and enjoy the evening to celebrate the sum that we've hopefully achieved for the charity. We're targeting £1 million, and that's obviously a big, big amount of money to raise for a small province like ourselves. But what is important to remember is that money is raised by Freemasons and their families. We don't go out to the general public. It comes out of the pocket of our members. Yes, a lot of it does support them, but we also support other national and local charities.
And how can lodges get involved in helping raise the money? I mean, obviously, we're in the middle of a pandemic at the moment, so it's a bit difficult to be able to do probably the stuff we would usually do, which could raise quite a substantial amount. But what could lodges do, obviously, at the moment, and when we get back to some sort of normality, what sort of thing would you recommend they do to assist with the festival?
Obviously, at the moment, it's very hard to be able to do anything as a group. So any individual activity that can raise funds and can be done by sponsorship is fine. You know, sponsored walks, I know it's very hard at the moment. We're in lockdown and we can't get out, but maybe, you know, sponsored 10,000 steps a day or whatever. It's hard. You know, personally, I'm doing a dry January and February with my family, and they're sponsoring me because I don't think I'll make it. But there's lots of other ways. A lot of the lodges are doing quizzes where it's held via a Zoom platform, and it's an entrance fee and prizes for the winners. There's lots of little ways to actually raise money. I think the important underlying factor is to remember that the festival itself is meant to be fun. It's about enjoying ourselves, but also raising some money at the same time. So any little way that we can contribute, whether it's £5, £10 or hundreds or thousands, every penny is important. And it's incumbent on every one of our members to actually try and raise some money if they possibly can. You know, it's for our own benefit in the long run.
Am I right in saying that there is you can actually set up a payment plan to support the festival as well?
Yeah, there's lots of different ways that you can contribute. There are payment plans where you can subscribe to pay an amount monthly or yearly, however you like. Other ways, you can make a one-off donation. We have QR codes now where you can literally scan it to your phone, put in a couple of details, and that will donate an amount straight through the airwaves, as it were. You know, we're trying to make life easy, trying to make it as simple as possible. I think the biggest challenge that we have is getting the information out to our members. Not everyone is computer literate. Not everyone reads their mail. So it can be quite a challenge at times, but it's a challenge I think we're up to.
And if someone's listening to this now and thinking they want to set up a regular subscription, where do they have to go to do that? Or who do they contact?
Well, there's a number of ways. They can go onto the provincial website, then go onto the festival page. And if you scroll down, it tells you how you can donate, whether that's a one-off or a regular payment. Contact myself, contact the festival secretary. We'll always help you fill in the forms, guide you in the right way. A lot of members like to send a check in. You know, it's as easy as that. We'll help you. If you're not sure, talk to someone. We'll guide you through the steps. We'll make it as easy as we can.
And is there anything that anyone needs to do to sign up to the event in at the end of the festival that's going to be at the town hall?
It is. Not at the moment. What we're doing is putting the date out there for everyone to make a note in their diaries. Nearer the time, we'll put it online and everyone will be sent the relevant information. And then it's a case of filling in a form and sending in a deposit. But everyone will get an equal chance to come along. They're normally good dudes. They're light-hearted, celebration of raising funds for the festival. Normally a very good evening.
Definitely. And a very nice venue as well, the Town Hall in Oxford.
It is a lovely venue. I've seen a few pictures of how they deck it out for these events. It's impressive. It's professional. And it's definitely a location that we thought was very fitting to celebrate 5 years of us raising funds. So, yes, it's looking good.
So, Graham, you mentioned that the festival fundraising target is around, was it £1 million, you say?
Yes, that's the target.
Oh, right, okay. So how are we doing at the moment? How are we almost on target to raising £1 million?
Well, we're doing okay. We could be doing better, but we're doing okay. To date, we've raised around £750,000.
Wow.
So we're three quarters of the way there. Now, we do need a big push to get us over the finish line, and we've got about 18 months or so to do that. But what it does need is it's imperative that every brother, every lodge plays their part in raising the funds. Mm-hmm. You know, during this COVID pandemic, I do fear that more members, more brethren around the country and their families will be using the services that the MCF can offer, whether that's, you know, medical help, financial help. I'm convinced there's going to be a lot of mental health issues cropping up in the next few years because of this. And the MCF have the professionals who can help deal with those sort of issues, put you in contact with the right people. So to be able to offer those services, we need to have the funds available. And that's why we have these festivals to help raise those funds. So, you know, it is imperative that the brethren do give if they are in a position to do so. I perfectly understand that not everyone can.
Yeah, okay.
A lot of us are lucky enough that we can. And we should always remember that, you know, when we took our initiations, we all said that if we were able, we would give money to charity. So maybe this is the time that we take a deep, dark look at ourselves and say, you know, what can we do? Can I make a difference? And if the answer is yes, then, you know, please do something about it.
Right, okay. And they can ask the lodge secretary or lodge charity steward as well for guidance on how to pay and who to pay and all that sort of thing, can't they?
Most definitely. The lodge charity steward will know all about the festival. They will be able to put you in contact with either the provincial charity steward or myself. We can show you the paperwork. It's available online. Every member in our province had a booklet about 18 months ago, 8-page booklet telling us where we were in terms of the festival, what we've done so far. There's forms in the back of there. There's contact numbers. But if in doubt, send me an email. You know, I can always point you in the right direction.
Well, that's fantastic. Thanks for sharing that information. And hopefully we'll be able to get to that target.
Well, it'd be a tremendous figure if we can achieve it. I'm sure that Oxfordshire is up to it. So, yes, let's do it. Brilliant. Let's get on and do it.
Yeah, definitely.
And we've talked a bit about your role as Deputy Provincial Grand Master and your involvement in the festival. Have you had any other provincial offices and...
Yes. I've been involved with province for probably 9 years or so now. I started off as an assistant director of ceremony for the province. That was 2 years. Fantastic role. Escorting the provincial grand master and his deputy and assistant around the province, representing the province at the various functions. Then I had 2 years as deputy director of ceremonies, very similar role. It was a real eye-opener for me. You get to be involved in what's going on at provincial level. You get to see and meet different people around our province and also around the other provinces. And it's a great way of forming friendships outside your normal circles, expanding it from other areas. That was very, very enjoyable. I was also provincial charity steward for a year, which once again was a totally different role. another role that really opened my eyes up as to what work we do, not only locally, but nationally. As a province, we support lots of local charities. We have a charity giving evening where we bring the charities that we supported through the year, through the different lodges in the province together. And we have a platform where those charities have 5 or 10 minutes to talk to the rest of the room about what they do. And some of the stories I tell are absolutely heartbreaking, but also so encouraging and warming that it makes what we do very, very worthwhile. And on a national level, you get to see where money that we raise through events like the festival actually go. We support some of the biggest charities around the country. We also support lesser charities who often lose out to the big boys when it comes to money being given away. Now, we really do give it away across the spectrum. It's also very important that we look after local charities, whether it's maybe redeveloping a children's playground, maybe helping out a bingo hall for the local scouts. These are all people that we interact with as an organisation and as individuals. They're part of our local communities. And Freemasonry is very much about communities and being active and being a positive part of everything around us. So, yeah, that was a great role. I was only there for a year in that role. And then I was very lucky to be asked if I'd like to take on the role as Assistant Provincial Grandmaster. I took on that role for 2 years, and that was most enjoyable again. And 18 months or so ago, I was asked if I would like to become deputy for the province. So I've been very lucky. It's been a wonderful honour to represent. It is really is an honour and a privilege to represent the province around the country, and especially within our province. It's so heartwarming to see how many good people we've actually got in Freemasonry. There's a lot of negativity around in the world. We don't advertise the good and the good people that we got within our organisation enough. I think Freemasonry now is beginning to shout from the rooftops a little bit more about what we do and how good we are. But there are definitely a lot of people out there who are really unsung heroes and really do work very, very hard to help other people.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And I think this is what we're doing as well as part of Light Blues. We want to get this sort of message out there for everybody, just to, one, to put a face to a name, essentially. So obviously people will know who you are now, have an understanding of where you've come from, essentially, and that sort of aspect of things, but also for the general public to understand that what we're doing is not just underground or anything like that. We're out there, we're here in front, we're in the public face, and we do a lot for charity, and that's what we're doing here really with the podcast. And as you say, social media is getting huge.
Yeah, I think social media is definitely the way forward for organisations like ourselves, especially in times like we're going through now. When we can't actually meet in person, social media has been a lifeline for many, many people. Talking on the phone is great. It's fantastic. But being able to go onto a platform and see somebody's face and chat to them and see their expressions, that's wonderful as well. And social media, there's lots of different platforms out there, obviously, but they're also ways of interacting. I know it's harder for some of the older guys. They don't always understand the technology, but I do think it's the way forward. I think it's the way that we have to sell ourselves as individuals and as an organisation. And it's interesting to see that lodges who have embraced social media, they're the ones who tend to be successful. They're the ones who are moving forward, maybe at a slightly better pace than some of the others who haven't. So, yeah, I think it's a wonderful tool, so I'm slowly getting to grips with it.
And you mentioned about, obviously, the the unusual times we're currently living in, and you know, that lots of aspects of Freemasonry that we enjoy have been paused for a time. What sort of advice do you have for lodgers during this period of hiatus? What would you recommend they do to try and keep people engaged? Have you seen anything working particularly well across the province?
I think the key is probably communication, and communication can take many, many different forms, from a simple phone call to Zoom meetings, Zoom activity, whether that's quizzes or lectures. Everyone's different, and I think we need to embrace all the different techniques to try and get everyone involved. I've got a couple of members in my Mother Lodge who really just appreciate a phone call every couple of weeks. You know, literally 5 minutes on the phone just to catch up. They don't know how to work the smartphones. So for them, you know, a conversation, how are you, what you've been up to, is everyone okay, really does go a long way. Obviously, as we just said, the Zoom meetings, seeing each other face to face is great. A lot of lodges have been embracing informal and semi-formal meetings through those. I've seen quite a few quizzes as well on the platforms. Some have been very, very professional. I've been very, very impressed with what they put together. Lectures, I've seen a few lectures as well. I think the key is, if we can involve many different formats, then hopefully we can hit most of the brethren one way or another. But communication is definitely the key. It's not easy, and we're now, I think, into what, our 10th month of this, so it's very, very hard. But just keep going, we'll be fine.
Of course, with all this sort of this pandemic going on, and we're not seeing each other as much, and it's quite difficult to keep people engaged. So by doing what you're suggesting, and just continue to, you know, drive that vehicle, that will enable us to keep people engaged. And I think it's quite obvious that quite naturally there's going to be a few people that probably sort of consider, actually, it's probably not for them anymore, and they sort of drop off the edge and don't bother coming back, which is a bit of a concern, really, isn't it? But what would you say about that? What are your thoughts around retaining people and recruitment?
I think retaining people, once again, comes down to that communication, talking to each other. Everyone wants to feel wanted, everyone wants to feel loved, and if we don't talk to each other, then it's easy to lose sight of what we've been doing. We need to make those phone calls, keep the camaraderie going, because at the end of the day, that's a huge part of Freemasonry, being part of something. So retention-wise, I think, sadly, we may lose a few people, but maybe a phone call would bring them back, would steady the ship a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's just keeping people engaged, isn't it? And, you know, giving them the option to do, you know, whether it's joining lectures or quizzes. And obviously there's some people who don't want to be as engaged, because, you know, they're sat on video conference all day at work and they don't want to do it in the evenings. But just giving people those options to say, you know, we're still doing stuff and there's still things going on.
Yeah, everyone wants to get engaged to a different level, and that's absolutely fine. Some people are quite happy not to chat. Others would like to chat every day or every other day. You know, we're all individuals. There's no one solution, unfortunately.
So, but when we do actually get back to some normality, when do you think that's going to happen? It's a bit difficult to answer as well, isn't it, I suppose? But
yeah, it's a strange question. I don't think any of us really know when that will be. Hopefully there is light at the end of the tunnel now. I think what we can do is be prepared for when we are allowed to get back together, to make sure that we have some form of plan in place to meet, that our centres are safe, that we are welcoming and encouraging of brethren. I think that the brethren will probably come back in stages. There'll be those who are keen to come early. There'll be some who are a little bit hesitant, for maybe health reasons or other reasons. But I think we have to just be understanding and appreciate that everyone is different, and it's down to a personal choice how and when we come back. But when we do come back, I think we need to have some plans in place, and hopefully there'll be a lot for us all to catch up on.
I think that'll be a great day.
Definitely. And I think I was amazed at the effort the centres went to when we had that period over the summer where there was the option to meet people. And, you know, a few of the centres opened and some lodges met, and it was, you know, the efforts that those centres went to make sure they were safe and COVID secure was really impressive.
Yes, it was. And I think we owe it to ourselves and to all our members to ensure that they are safe places to go to. And all the centres in the province did an absolutely stunning job in making sure that they were as safe as they could possibly be. Unfortunately, we couldn't use them for very long, but we abided by all the government guidelines and went a little bit further as well. We made funds available from province to help any centre that needed to put in special arrangements to ensure that its members could come back in an environment that was not only safe, but they were happy to go to. I think that's probably the key, making sure that members are happy to return. And if they're happy, then they'll keep coming back and re-engage quite quickly with us. A couple of the centres have actually been refurbished over the shutdown.
Yeah, I've seen some nice pictures of Woodstock. They seem to have been doing quite a lot of redecorating. And
yes, yeah, I'm looking forward to going back to Woodstock to see what they've done. I also know that Henley's been redecorated. And a few of the other centres have been repainted, spruced up. So, yes, I think it'll be interesting to get back and to see what they've done for us.
Moving away from COVID then, going back to your role as Deputy Provincial Grand Master, if somebody coming through their lodge offices was interested in maybe progressing into province and potentially becoming the Deputy Provincial Grand Master, what advice would you give them? How would they, you know, what would you expect from somebody who was aiming for that? What would you recommend?
That's actually quite hard. I think that we all have something to offer, and we all have something different to offer. We all have different skill sets. But all those skill sets are useful somewhere within the lodge and within the province. I think that if you make your particular skill known to province, whether it's working on IT, podcasts, or as an accountant, a treasurer, whatever, it's important to be willing, to be seen to be willing, to get involved. We are a small province in terms of number of lodges and number of members. And that makes us very lucky in a lot of ways. Because we have relatively small numbers, we get to know the members themselves quite quickly. And people who engage, people who put themselves out, who are seen, people who go visiting and are sort of mingling with people from around the province stand out. And they put themselves forward for jobs. People needs not to be afraid to say, I can do that, to put their hand up, to say, yeah, I have a skill set that might be useful. Can I talk to someone? We're always happy to talk and maybe not necessarily put a career path in for someone, but maybe shine a light on what they could do to help. I don't think anyone actually goes into Freemasonry, not that I know of anyway, that has a burning ambition to become deputy or provincial grandmaster. I'm sure there's some people somewhere, but
So it's fair to say what you put into it, you'll get out of it, essentially.
That's an old maxim within Freemasonry, yes. You know, the more you put in, the more you get out. It's true in life, in any walk of life.
Yeah.
And we're no different. Certainly no different.
And it also sounds like don't be afraid to put your hand up and get involved, I think.
Yeah, don't be shy. It's You know, there are great opportunities in province. Everyone's got a skill that can be used. Obviously, not everyone can become provincial grandmaster, but you know, there's always an activity that you can add to. You know, there's.
Well, hopefully, if they listen to this podcast, they'll realise we've had a lot of the provincial officers on, and they'll realise that you really don't bite. So
I think we're Freemasons who have enjoyed our Freemasonry and been lucky enough to find ourselves in positions that we are in today. The old adage is that we are all brothers, we're all the same, and that shouldn't be any different depending on what rank you hold within Freemasonry. We are all the same. We're all volunteers. We all do it because we want to, no other reason. We enjoy it and we're here for that reason. So, yeah, come and talk to us. We don't mind. Always quite happy to have a chat. You know, it's one of the great joys, I think, of Freemasonry is chatting to people, you know, whether it's an older brother with lots of experience, a lot of tales to tell, or a younger brother who's sort of a little bit, not intimidated, but a little bit quiet, a little bit shy, and wants to sort of maybe ask a question, how do I get on? What should I be doing here? Come and talk to us. We're more than willing to help. More than willing.
So, Graham, we've spoke a lot about your craft Freemasonry. Are you in any other orders?
Yes, I am. I've joined a few over the years along the way. I've tried to not join too many. When I join another order, I like to get active. I like to get involved. I want to be part of it. So I purposely made the decision not to join every order. I really would love to, but I don't think I'd have the time or the energy, if I'm totally honest. So I've been quite selective. The first order that I joined after Craft was the Holy Royal Arch. And that dovetails obviously into the 3 degrees in craft masonry and really is completion of your early Freemason life. From there, I went on to Masters Masonry and Royal Art Mariners. The other order I'm in is Rose Choir. And the last one I recently joined about 18 months or so ago was Royal and Select. They're all different. They've all got something different to offer. They're fascinating orders to join. They help put information around the basic craft story, if you like. They help fill in some of the gaps. So I enjoy those. As I said, I'd like to join a lot of the others, but I think realistically they'll have to wait a few years till I've got a little bit more time on my hands to enjoy them.
So you mentioned Royal Art Mariners there. Is that something somebody can go straight into, or would they need to join a different order to enable them to access?
Royal Art Mariners is accessed through Mark Master Masons. So once you join Mark, it's the normal 28 days, and then you can join Royal Art Mariners. And those 2 degrees are very, very closely linked.
I thought that might have been the case, because you can't access every order straight from your third degree, can you? There are certain sort of paths that you have to take on some of them to be able to get involved in them.
Definitely. Some of the degrees, as you say, once you join one degree, it opens up doorways into other degrees. I think there's a chart on our provincial website, and it tells you exactly which degrees will allow you to join further degrees. So it's quite interesting. I think there's around 18 different orders that are open to members if they want to progress down those routes.
And there's always something to join, even if you've been involved in Freemasonry for as long as you have.
Oh, there's always another step. There's always another form to sign and another degree to join. I think the key for anyone really is to only join the degrees that you either have time for or really want to. Don't overdo it. If you want to join a degree, do that, but enjoy it, get involved with it, and then move on when time and circumstances allow. I'm always very conscious that when when we finished our third degree, someone pounces on you and says, how would you like to join this degree? It's the best one ever. They can't all be the best one ever, can they?
Definitely.
But yeah, you won't know until you try.
You don't. And obviously, you've got to remember there is a financial implication as well and a time implication. So all these things have to be taken into account.
Definitely. Well, it's been fantastic speaking with you, Graham, and you know, it's great to hear so much about the festival and your journey into Freemasonry and some of the things that you've been involved in around the province. But yeah, I think all that's left to say is thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to come and talk with us. And we hope that the listeners enjoyed every minute as we did.
Thank you very much, Manandi, for giving me the opportunity to come onto your podcast. It's been an experience. Thank you very much.
No problem at all. And thanks from me as well, Graham. It's really nice to speak to you.
It's nice to see a couple of different faces for an evening.
Yeah, sorry, it's mine.
That's been good. No, I almost enjoyed that. Thank you.
Brilliant. See you soon.
Thank you very much, chaps.
Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoyed this edition. If you did, please share and pass it on to your friends. Join Matt and Andy next time discussing all things Freemasonry here on the world-famous Oxfordshire Light Blues Podcast.